American media is a business, and it has a mission, not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it's yet another good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Wednesday, May 4th, 2005. That's right, it's time for another hump day, which means that you are halfway through your week. Don't give up now, man. We're almost there. And this is Newsreel, your source for independent media and news from the rebellion against core political tyranny and the truth source for those on the bleeding edge. You can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal. You can get to my live journal by going to Sean_Kennedy, SEAN_Kennedy.livejournal.com, and that's the only really true way to spell Sean is SEAN. If you spell your name other than SEAN and your name happens to be Sean, then you're spelling it wrong. If you would like to have your name accepted as being spelled differently, you may have to submit your forms in triplicate to the Rand Media Studios, in which case we will review them, stamp them, resend them, and, you know, get back to you at the soonest whether or not your name is actually acceptably spelt. But until then, this is a free radio broadcast that can be heard on Rand Radio, 76 Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Radio306.com, and OspreyRadio.info. And you are free to distribute this broadcast any way you see fit. You can do anything you want with it. You can hand it out to people. You can re-record it. You can put it on your pod. You can put it on other people's iPods. You can put it on your battle pod. You can put it in your officer's battle pod. I really don't care what it is you do with the show. You can do whatever you like with the show. But, you know, hey, if I can brighten up your day just a little bit, just the tiniest bit to make your day easier, then my work is completed. Which, let me tell you, it's good work when you can get it. Let's get straight into some feedback. Dear Sean, I had to watch a film in business and marketing class in high school. Oh my God, they have a marketing class in high school? That's sick and weird. They had a piece on Ben and Jerry's. Ah, now, the other day I was talking about how Ben and Jerry's was involved in a protest. I was wondering if they were a core political evil, and I guess this is one of those really cool people who responds when I ask questions. They had a piece on Ben and Jerry's. It's far from an evil corporation. They're based in Vermont, which I know is a poor state, so they started a company and sold stock to the underprivileged Vermont residents. That was originally, I don't know now, the firm was rather old. I guess it is rather old because it's still around again. Another bit on Ben & Jerry. I reside in Charleston, WV, wherever Charleston, WV is. I was at my brother's house on the East End, just 3 blocks from Capitol Building on Veazey Street. Hey, come on down to Veazey Street. That's where all the hookers hang out in Charleston. Anyways, a large float attached to the Lincoln Town Car comes rolling by. It's George Bush, and his pants were on fire. Pathetic, but at least it made a statement. I got my picture taken with the float, and the lady hauling it informed me that it was built by Ben and Jerry themselves. And that was from yours truly, Doobie X. Well, you know what? That's interesting. That's very interesting that Ben and Jerry are so politically involved. And a lot of people would say, well, they're not good. Because, you know, they make ice cream. And as everybody knows, ice cream is evil. I mean, they got cows and they're hooked up to machines and there's dairy involved there. And everybody knows ice cream's evil. Evil, 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 evil ice cream. Okay, well, you know, not everyone. I mean, you know, there is a point where you have to go, okay, all you without, you know, sin cast the first stone kind of a thing. I mean, where do we draw the line? Do you have to be, like, a totally non-invasive company? Do you have to not have any sort of animal byproducts whatsoever for you to be, you know, anointed by the holy fire of revolutionary libertarianism, whatever? You have to be, you know, just absolutely perfect for your company to be accepted? I don't think that's the case. I don't think that's the case. I think we have to find some balance. I mean, I've seen a lot of the really rabid, you know, yoga pajama type companies, and, you know, they're all talking about the holy light and everything, and I've even worked with some aromatherapy types, and you know what? They're all the same. It's all business. Everybody's in it to, you know, knife each other over to make a buck. That's what it's about. That's why I hate business. I would be no good at business no good at business whatsoever. Does that make me a bad person? Well, I don't know. Depends, I guess, what your value structure is. But I would personally think that there comes a point when you have to say, okay, you know what? At least Ben and Jerry they're trying to do something positive. You know, at least they're making the attempt. At least the intention is there, because that's what really it's all about. It's about intention. And although the road to hell is paved with good intentions, it's nice to see that at least there's a couple of core politicals who, you know, might actually give a crap. Speaking of which, that brings us to our next feedback. Holy crap! You made my day when you were talking about gun ownership and usage on Monday's show. It was like you were reading my mind. I don't have anything super constructive to contribute. Well, that's reinforcement. But I figured to give you some positive feedback on balance the hate mail you probably get for that one. Keep up the fight. Freeze. P.S. Remember, fasts are just one-time things. Diets are a way of life. Now, this is true. This is true. Now, I've, got a lot of feedback on the journal there. Everyone was all, you know, whining and screaming because, you know, I wasn't following up on my fast as solid as I have been. Yet, I did discover a new method of eating healthy and using my fast drinks from Master Cleanser to augment my diet. And I gotta say, I'm feeling pretty good. I'm feeling okay about the whole deal. And I'm gonna be talking a little bit more about that because there's something in the news story about food. That's right, I came across a poison alert. But before we get into that, let's get into Sort Yourself Out. This one's a little bit longer. Dear Sean, let's face it, we all have problems. Yes, we do. And although some people's will always be bigger than yours, it doesn't mean your problems are any less important, right? Well, it's all subject, right? You know what I mean? If you've never felt pain and you stub your toe, well, you're in the worst pain of your life and therefore agony. Everybody needs help, sorting their life out, and so do I. Yet I keep holding back, thinking I'm not that damned important, and others should be taken care of first. Now, this is exactly what I was talking about yesterday. This is people who are concerned, you know, with not being wanted, and then this is the root cause of almost every single psychological damage. Well, I've held back for too long, and I'm sinking fast. I know where I want to be, but I just can't seem to get there. And now I'm asking myself, where do I even start? Dun, dun, dun. My position. I'm a college student in a place I can't help feeling that I'm learning nothing. My parents are pretty much making me go, even though this was supposedly my choice, it wasn't. Now, this is a typical thing where, you know, you have a young person who's going to college because their parents want them to go to college. And, you know, a lot of people are like, well, don't be a pussy, you know, be a man, stand up, just tell your parents to fuck off. Well, that's a nice thing in theory, but depending on the culture that you come from, that may or may not be a reality. Additionally, I now find myself almost daily working daily, pushing carts around the lot for the new Super Walmart. I don't think I need to elaborate on the living hell that job is. Yes, in fact, you don't. I'm very sorry you have to do that. Unless I can find something else, and nowhere else has shown any interest in hiring me in over a year now, my parents won't let me quit. My first thought is, of course, would be to move out to eliminate their rule, but that would just screw me over more. I have no money reserved for such a venture and few places to go. Plus, I'd hate to have to try mooching off my friends or my grandparents. And finally, I highly doubt I'd have much luck surviving on my own, even after watching Patrolling. Maybe if I'd had the money to buy some kit, but I don't. Ah, now you look how self-defeating this is right off the top. I couldn't make it, I'd die. And where do I want to be? As far as location, I don't know, but I do know I want to be out of school and working on my own time. My best bet now is my work as a writer. Okay, I've been working on developing my own anime for about 5-6 years. After a lot of struggling and constant development, I finally got enough data in my head to write everything the way I want it to be. My main problem is I no longer possess the free time to write it with everything else going on. The second being I lack an artist to do the rest of the work. I'm a decent artist myself, but nothing too special. Beyond some pretty half-assed concept sketches, it's the best I can do on my own. The only friend I have that can draw really well is pretty far off, pursuing his own designs at another college. So I'm left without much to work with here. Still, if I can only finish my part, maybe I could go from there. Time and money, my biggest adversaries. Time to do what needs to be done, and the money needed to buy the equipment I need to do with it. My parents aren't being as helpful as they think they're being. I'm not even positive what kind of help I'm asking for here. Just any advice on how to move from here, find a better job, get my time back, anything. Any help would be great. I try to write back more later if I can think of anything else. Thanks in advance for any advice you can give me. See you around. Right then. Okay, buddy, the first thing you need to do is get some perspective. Right now, it seems to me that you are in college. You hate it. You hate it, you hate it, you hate it. You hate it, you hate Walmart, which, you know, I can totally understand because that's a really, really sucks. Now, you're focused, heavily involved in your own suffering, but I would draw your attention to a point which you may or may not be seeing right now. It sucks right now. But college does not last forever. And don't feed me that crap about, you know, oh, hey, Sean, you know, well, it's still another 2 years. Look, dude, it's going to go fast, okay? This is one thing you will always remember. If you breathe, the world will turn and time will pass. Now, when you have something like college, and you are privileged enough to have parents who give a shit, who are willing to send you to college, sometimes you've got to take the shit. Now, this sucks. This sucks a lot, but sometimes you have got to take the shit. Not all the fish make it, and I hope you do, all right? There is a chance that you could decide, no, screw college, I'm going to go be an anime writer? Okay, you know, I'm all for following my dreams. You know, I really am. I think following your dreams is a good thing. I believe in being a writer, too. But I didn't even, like, I've tried to submit scripts and everything. Dude, it's very, very hard to make it artistically. Extremely hard to make it artistically. As a matter of fact, if you think that you're going to make it artistically with no other work, that's foolhardy. Somebody told me something one time. They said, if you want to do what you want to do for a living, be prepared to work shit jobs for the rest of your life. And that's very, very true. Now, if you're going to college to get some courses to do something, it's because your parents give a shit about you and they know that once you're through college, you'd be able to land yourself a halfway decent job because you will have a higher paying job after getting out of college than if you quit college. So my advice to you, and this is good advice, is first of all, you will in fact stay in school. It will suck. You will finish it. You will win. This, unfortunately, will build character. And I know that's a horrible thing for me to have to say to you. I hate to have to say it. But I'm not going to stroke your ego and go, you know, just essentially screw you around by saying, yeah, dude, you know what? I think you should just quit school, you know, get yourself a job, move out on your parents, screw your family, to hell with it. No, your family care about you. Even though they're pissing you off right now, they have the best of intentions. So what you need to do is don't hang up your pencil on the anime stuff. Keep it. That's why I've got binders full of this shit. It will show up later, okay? Maybe work on your drawing talent. Because the more people you have involved with your projects, the less control that you have. You also need to do some stuff to get some self-confidence up. This whole letter just reeks of self-doubt. I would highly recommend that if you're going to do something, you need something to allow yourself to get focus outside of your body. I would recommend looking into some more soft-form martial arts, maybe something like some Aikido or a little bit of Kung Fu might be good, something that would teach you a bit of meditation, something that would give you a bit of perspective. Because as it sits right now, you only see how bad it is, and I see how bad it could be. So I would hope and wish that you think very, very carefully before you do something stupid and separate yourself from your family and from the people who care about you. So that may not be what you wanted to hear, but that's my advice to you, my friend. So let's get straight into the news with some gay genetics. Woohoo! Nothing to really piss people off until you start talking about genetic predisposition to be gay. A mere change in temperature is all it takes for the males in a new line of genetically engineered flies to switch from being heterosexual to suddenly courting other males. Now, these, of course, are flies. But imagine if they were to blow this up. All of a sudden, every summer, we have a giant homo frenzy in the middle of all the cities. Woo! If that was the case, I'd want to put that into an aerosol virus that attacks people's DNA strain and can turn them gay. And then it's off to the God Hates Fags guy with a spray bottle. When the switch occurs within minutes, and it's fully reversible, meaning scientists, for the first time, have a system they can manipulate to study how some brain regions may be involved to determine sexual orientation. Whether the secrets unveiled by these particular flies will shed any light on human sexual preference is still unclear. But right now, yep, they got gay flies on demand. Some of the neurons affected by the genetic changes are involved in the sensing pheromones. They play an important role in fly courtship behavior. Wow, this is riveting stuff. But their influence on social sexual behavior is unknown. Which reminds me, you know, those pheromones, of course, pheromones are those little things that you can buy from the backs of those dirty magazines where you can get the colognes and stuff that you smear all over your body and then the chicks are all going crazy for you. Never bought that stuff, but I always wondered if it worked, you know? That'd be great. If it did work, I wonder if it is possible, because if you can make one, right? Like, if that stuff did work, it stands to reason. Then couldn't you make a more concentrated form of it? Like, couldn't you just boil it down or make a more, you know, intensive one? And if that was the case, could you make, like, massive quantities of it, then fly over a city with, like, a crop duster and hose everybody in the city with, like, sexual pheromones? And before you know it, without any sort of resistance, every single man and woman, of a sexual age, of course, would then tear off their clothing and turn into giant heated lust in the middle of the street. It'd be different. Toshiro Kitamono of the Beckman Research Instrument of the City of Hope, California, created the flies. Wow, way to go, Mr. Kitamono. But is reluctant to extrapolate on the findings. It's a very sensitive issue. Yeah, no kidding. Others are more willing to express enthusiasm. Dean Hammer of the National Institutes of Health says research shouldn't inspire other scientists hunting for genes involved with sexual orientation in humans. We don't want sexual orientation. What we want is we want sexual, I don't know, what would be the term there? Sexual encouragement? Sexual encouragement genes. Sexual, you know, something that would, something that makes you horny. There's no reason to think that similar features will not be present in mammals, he says. Well, that's, you, there's no reason to think similar features will not be present in mammals. Well, there's quite a difference between a fruit fly and a mammal, dude. Noting that homosexual behavior is widespread among many animal species and suggests a small, strong genetic influence. Hammer's team published a highly publicized study suggesting there is a gay gene on human chromosome X, though different groups failed to reproduce their results. So, you know. But many disagree. Sexual orientation in humans is mostly a social behavior, meaning that if the babysitter touched you, then your sexual behavior will be different than if your babysitter hasn't touched you. That's what Ruth Hubbard from the Council for Responsible Genetics says. Trying to find analogies in flies who have their own agendas is just plain silly, she says. Now, do I agree that gays, now this is the big one here, you know, do I agree that being gay is a genetic thing? You know, now I am purely going to be into the realms of speculation here. First of all, I'm not really sure it matters worth a damn whether you're gay or not. It's kind of like one of those eye color things, like, who cares? You know, you want to flip a coin, you want to get up in the morning and go, you know, you're going to be, you know, rug munching or you know, whatever you want to do, that's fine. You know, you want to go out there and do that, that's okay. The only problem I have with it is if when there's really young people who are going through some confusing times and maybe they get sexually active before they should, you know, I would wonder what the long-term psychological effects are of that if, you know, say someone who wasn't gay experiments with homosexuality, and would that do any deep-rooted, you know, damage? Because I imagine I'm not gay, but if I'd experimented with that when I was a teenager, how would that have affected me? Or would it have affected me? Is that just, you know, me being a straight paranoid guy? I don't know. I don't have a problem with any of it. I don't know enough about it, and I think there's far too much attention paid to it. I'd sooner see a lot of this money be put in towards, I don't know, actually researching diseases, maybe trying to develop Tesla's free energy. But no. The gay, you know, thing is a huge, huge thing in politics. And, of course, there's the concept of the gay agenda. You know, people talk about that, too. These nuts, these conservative wackos, that all gay people are part of this secret club. And they're all rallying together to destroy the Christians of the world. Which, although that's very entertaining, and I can't help but think of all the wonderful pictures I could drop in my mind of gay special forces or gay Illuminatis who have the really, really good robes. Unfortunately, you know, I just can't think that that's really, you know, realistic. Getting on to Canada versus the core political. This is what happens when corporations declare war on a country. America has brought its big guns to bear. Now, this is where it's really sad because America isn't the ones who are responsible to this. But this, of course, is a very slanted news story, so I will just read the news story and then comment on it later. America has brought its big guns to bear in a furthered effort to force the tottering Canadian government to change its copyright laws to better suit U.S. interests. So it's not really the U.S. government, it's U.S. corporations. In the U.S. Trade Representative's Special 301 report, the U.S. says it's put Canada on its special watch list. Dun, 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 dun. America will monitor Canada's progress on RPR issues during the upcoming year. From the rest of Canadians, fuck you. And demands that Canada ratify and implement the WIPO Internet Treaties ASAP and reform its copyright law so that it provides adequate and effective protection of copyright works in the digital environment. Again, fuck you! Canadian Heritage Minister Liza Ferrilla said, fuck you! No, I'm kidding. She'll be only too happy to oblige. Oh, she didn't say fuck you. Proposing to make sure the Copyright Act is amended to show the entertainment cartel Act is amended to allow the entertainment cartels to sue Canadians in the same way they are suing Americans, and among other things. So you know what? We're not going to protect our people. We'll just hand them over to the core political entertainment giants in the States for, you know, recycling processing. In the U.S., more than 10,037 people are currently being victimized through court actions as the cartels attempt to gain control of the way files are distributed online. And they force music lovers to buy overpriced entertainment industry quote-unquote product. The Canadian court decision finding that making files available for copyright and peer-to-peer file sharing services cannot give rise to liability for infringing under existing Canadian copyright law underscores the need for Canada to join nearly all other developed countries in implementing the WIPO internet treaties. Now, if this does happen, I wonder how this will affect internet radio and therefore this show. Scary concept. The U.S. copyright industry is concerned about proposed copyright legislation regarding technological protection measures and internet service provider ISP liability, which, if passed, would appear to be a departure from the requirements of the WIPO internet treaties, as well as the international standards adopted by most OECD countries in the world. Now, here's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping that Canada lies to the United States. I hope they say, oh, yeah, you betcha. Yeah, well, we'll pass this, we'll pass that. Yeah, we'll do it all. Not a problem right here. You know, meanwhile, but our government's just as corrupt as any other government, as the sponsorship scandal has shown us. We got all those liberals up there, you know, handing out money. They've been corrupt as hell for a very, very long time. So it's not like I'm super surprised that, you know, the liberals have done all this damage. For those of you in the United States who don't give a flying crap about what happened in Canada, just to give you a quick synopsis of the sponsorship scandal. See, the liberals had a bunch of money. They paid money to these PR firms for no work. Therefore, they gave their money to their rich crony friends. And there's one chick who blew the whistle on this. And now it's turned into this giant can of worms that's completely screwing over, you know, everybody, which I'm really happy about. Mind you, I'm a little concerned because that means now that the Stephen Harper, who's the conservative leader, who's essentially George Bush light, is getting more and more momentum in the country. But again, too, I mean, I'm not even too sure if I believe in voting and whether or not, because since the American elections were rigged, what do you suppose how easy it would be to convince a couple of cheeseheads up here to rig our own elections? Now, this is an older story here, but this is a cool story, and was sent to me, and I think it was Kizzle who sent me this, and it's very, very cool. Now, whenever we talk about virtual reality, and I'm a big fan of VR. As a matter of fact, one of these days, I'd like to come up with a design sheet for an operating system, which I've had kicking around in my head for a long time. I talked to my buddy CyberTech about it, and, you know, if I ever get my hands on a lot of cash, like if I had, you know, a few million dollars kicking around, I would love to hire a bunch of guys, and we're going to build a free operating system. Total waste of money. Total waste of money. Like, you know, if I had, let's say I won or I acquire or, you know, I screw over Time Warner or something. Anyway, I get my hands on, say, I don't know, $50 million. Well, I take $10 million and give it to my wife right away because that way she keeps me from being homeless. I hate money. I hate money with a passion. Can't stand it. Try not to touch it. I firmly entrench myself inside of staying away from money. As soon as I touch money, man, things get weird with me. You know, I'm like, oh, I get all Gollum about it, and I start seeing all the things I could do and the possibilities, and then I get a nosebleed and fall over and froth at the mouth. But I'm thinking that if I had some real cash after giving my wife money to make sure I wouldn't wind up homeless behind the 7-Eleven trying to play a tuba, I would probably then take the remaining $40 million and spend it in such a way that would make the Fortune 500 companies just tear their own heads off, you know? You see, these guys are like, he spent $40 million. He spent it on an operating system he's going to distribute for free. Oh, my God. You know, imagine giving away $40 million or a product that you put together with $40 million. And that's what I want. I want a virtual reality operating system that will, you know, you can install and have upgrades. Oh, I got some great ideas. But I'm going to get past that. In the VR world, one of the big problems is movement, right? Because if you walk, you're walking into walls and stuff, and that gets rid of immersion because you can't actually walk. Well, it seems that a while back, researchers from the University of Tsukuba, which I'm guessing is somewhere in an Asian area, and ATR Media Information Research Labs in Japan, have constructed a moving floor that allows users to stay in place while walking on a virtual environment. Now, you'd think this would be a conveyor belt, but it's not. The device makes it possible to literally move through a virtual environment and could be used to simulate operations like disaster evacuations, according to the researchers. Who cares? We use it for playing Quake. The device, dubbed Circular Floor, consists of movable sections of floor equipped with ultrasound sensors to keep track of the floor section positions and magnetic sensors to keep track of the motion of the user's feet. The floor moves in the opposite direction from the user, so the motion of each step is canceled and the user's position remains fixed in the real world. Now, they got a picture of it here on the link. It's very, very cool looking, and it's a great concept. Even if they haven't done anything with it, this would be fairly simple to remake and to possibly use for another application. The floor sections move in all directions, making it possible for the user to freely change direction at will while walking. Now, that's cool. The floor provides a relatively natural means of locomotion for virtual reality systems because the sense of distance and orientation while walking is much better than while riding in a vehicle, according to the researchers. Researchers' prototype covers flat surfaces are working on a mechanism that will allow the user to traverse uneven terrain. Well, obviously, they're just going to raise the panels on the floor up and down and so on and so forth. But I think it's very, very cool. VR stuff is hot, you know? And it seems like it's just kind of lost in the... That was on Slashdot the other day. Whatever happened to VR, you know? Well, it's still around, you know, but it just... People have stopped talking about virtual reality. People have stopped talking about how it can be used. I guess it's because the equipment is expensive. And honestly, the thing that is stopping VR, I believe the thing that is stopping VR is the same thing that's stopping the wearable computers. And it's all about the display. It's all about the display. But if you were to check out the latest issue of NASA's Tech Brief, which if you're in the States, you can pick that up, and that's some hot shit. You can get yourself some high quality OLEDs for less than $900 US. And these are micro display OLEDs. So, you know, with a little bit of know-how, and that comes with a head tracking unit, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. So maybe we should all start, you know, kind of building our own head-mounted displays. Just a thought. On to our poison alert. And this could be why, after my fast, when I ate a little bit of Chinese food, I felt like, well, a slug on lithium. University of Minnesota researchers, Asari Kasanali, wow, these names are amazing, a professor of food chemistry and nutritional biochemistry, wow, a graduate student, Christine Sepan, have shown that when highly saturated vegetable oils are heated to frying temperatures, that would be 365 degrees Fahrenheit, for extended periods or even half an hour, a highly toxic compound, HNE, 4-hydroxytransnonrenal forms in the oil. Previously, vegetable oils such as soybean, sunflower, and corn were regarded as heart healthy because of their high levels of linoleic acid, a polyunsaturated fatty acid. HNE is incorporated into fried food in the same concentration as it forms in heated oil. Also, Casali and her colleagues have found that three toxic HNE-related compounds, known as HEE, HOE, and HDE, in heated soybean oil. They will present their work at a poster session from 9 to 2 p.m. Wednesday, May 4th, at the 96th Annual Meeting of American Oil Chemists Society in Salt Lake City Convention Center. HNE is a well-known, highly toxic compound that is easily absorbed from the diet, said Casali. The toxicity arises because the compound is highly reacted with proteins, nucleic acids, DNA, RNA, and other biomolecules. So how would you avoid this? How would you get by this? HNE is formed from the oxidization of linoleic acid, and reports have it related to several diseases, including osteoporosis, stroke, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, Huntington's, and liver diseases. So all the really nice ones. Casali's work underscores the risk of repeated heating or reusing highly unsaturated oils for frying because HNE accumulates with each heating cycle. So if you use the same oil 10 times, it goes bad. In future studies, Casali and other colleagues plan to determine how long polyunsaturated oil must be heated at lower temperature in order to form HNE and its related compounds. The study was funded by the University of Minnesota, which is why you will never, ever, ever, ever hear about this. Check out how much press this is going to get. Okay? Nice people run the Chinese food restaurant. I've got no problem with those people. There's a nice guy, runs the local Chinese food restaurant. I call him General Kang because the guy looks like he's like, he looks like a dude I saw in a Punisher comic. He looks like this hardcore, just this old Chinese guy. Really, really nice, works 7 days a week. Just a hard-working person, you know? But despite that, these people, you know, who run these, you know, Chinese food places or fast food places, whatever, they start with deep fat frying oil and they leave it there for at least a couple of hours. Now, after 30 minutes, you start getting a buildup of this toxic, you know, HNE stuff inside of deep fried food or deep frying oil. then the longer each time you fry food, it builds up more and more and more. You see how this works? And so eventually you wind up eating some deep fried food, and then bam, you've got this stuff in your system. This could be why there is such a problem with McDonald's stuff. You know, aside from the fact McDonald's is, in fact, the devil. But I mean, I'm off of deep fried food now. That's it. No more deep fried stuff for me. Tempura, gone. Why? Because you don't eat poop. Now, let's get on to some cyberpunk kit, some log cameras. Now, these aren't handheld cameras. These are cameras you can mount outside your house. Now, these cameras are great because all you got to do is run power to them and an Ethernet cable to them, and then bam, you've got yourself your very own log-in camera that works on a swivel mount, and it's cheap. This is really the first wave of monitoring your apartment area. You could put this anywhere. I mean, the application for something like this is limited only to protection of your bat cave. To protect and monitor areas surrounding your log cave, right or wrong, but bear in mind, Bruce Wayne was log. When we first saw the Panasonic BLC10, we thought, surely this can't be right. A network camera with a remote pan and tilt functions for around 200 pounds, which would be about 400 bucks Canadian. But that's exactly what you get with this baby camera. Offers these features, making it a highly affordable for home users and small businesses alike. Not only does it deliver pan and tilt controls, but the BLT10 also incorporates infrared thermal sensor that can be linked to trigger, allowing the camera to take snapshots of an area under surveillance when activated. Wow. That's pretty cool. Up until now, if you wanted a remote pan and tilt control on camera networks, you'd have to choose from the PTZ, pan, tilt, zoom varieties, which many costing in excess of a grand. The BLC10 doesn't offer the same level of coverage, but the lens can still move 50 degrees horizontally on either side of its home position and 10 degrees up and 40 degrees down. The golf ball style mounting is used for the lens with a small slot allowing it to move in either direction. This is very, very cool. I would love to get some cameras up around my house just to watch, you know, what's going on out by the gate. Sometimes, you know, the dog starts freaking out. You're wondering what he's barking at. And so, you know, you run to the study and slip on the bat monitor and da-da-da. There's the FedEx man. Release the hounds, you know. But maybe I'm just being obsessive. Maybe I'm being paranoid. You know, maybe that's a bit much. You got to go, whoa, Sean. You know, hang on now. As you're sitting there sharpening your tomahawk, do you really need to be watching 12 angles on your house? You know, come on now. Well, you know, it pays to be informed. And I'd like to have a little bit of lead time if anyone undesirable is coming to my front door with a door ram. You know, just sort of a thought. I'd like to know. Gives you time to, you know, put in, you know, the boot and nuke discs. Now, let's talk about Project Apollo. This is corpolitical evil right here. Project Apollo. Listen to this. Marketers, those great and wonderful demons, are testing new techniques to measure whether advertisers' messages are getting across. And they're prepared to spend vast sums to deploy astonishing complex technologies to do so. Listen to this. The Ad Tech Conference in San Francisco last week, advertising experts contemplated a variety of approaches ranging from round-the-clock automated ad tracking to simply reduce the number of ads per show. And it could make it easier for advertisers to reach an increasingly fragmented viewing public. That's because the viewing public is sick of your ads. You want war? We'll give it to you. To measure the impact of ad campaigns, VNU, the parent company of television audience measurement firm Nielsen Media Research, and Arbitron, the media research firm, are developing an experimental program called Project Apollo. That takes the concept of viewing tracking to a level of unprecedented detail. Listen to how evil this thing is. The project, which the companies hope to roll out on a trial basis next year, will require participants to carry a pager-sized device that records all advertising messages to which the wearer is exposed. Holy shit! Participants will also record everything they buy so that advertisers can figure out exactly which messages made an impact. This fulfills a dream of the industry has had for years, the ability to measure what a consumer is exposed to and the resulting behavior in the marketplace, says Thom Morkarski, Vice President of Communications at Arbitron. The companies plan to eventually incorporate data from 30,000 U.S. households into Project Apollo, Morkarski said. The planned trial will include between 4,000 and 6,000 households. In exchange for providing their data, participants will receive a combination of cash and products. Now, I'm trying to think of a way. And we need to get our hands on one of these little devices. You know, one of those little pager things. It's a pager-sized little slave device that we will attach to our product, which is you. And then you will enter everything you have, and we will buy your soul with air miles and other bullshit prizes that have no real value. That's exactly what that's going to be. We'll give you some airtime on your cell phone, let you talk for free. What you used to get for free, you can now pay for. Yeah. I think if we could find out where some of these little pager devices are and find a way to, you know, hack them, reverse engineer them, white them at range, you know, maybe, I don't know, turn them into screaming little things we can program our own WOG messages onto them. I just think this entire Project Apollo is evil, 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 evil. And I'd like to know if we could get some more information on this and possibly even mess with these guys. Because there's nothing like, you know, WOGs versus Apollo. Apollo, I think, is going to lose. Full point. Now, we know what you like. This is a disturbing trend. I've seen this in a number of tech devices. So have you. It's out there. It's running around. This is disturbing stuff. And it is, don't make the mistake of becoming so lazy and so apathetic that you give up your freedom of choice. Now listen to this. Sun Microsystem has unveiled a technology that will recommend songs to a user based on analysis of the music they already enjoy. Now there's lots of this technology out there. This is just one further story on that. The technology analysis features such as rhythm and beat strength to categorize music. It then searches for files with similar attributes. Sun showed off the search inside the music project at Sun Labs Day, an open house for research arm of the Mountain View, California. For its research arm in Mountain View, California. The system takes about 3 seconds to analyze 1 minute of music, explains Paul Lemire, a principal investigator with Sun Labs. Because the analysis is such a computer-intensive task, he expects that users will acquire data from a server or have it bundled with the song at the time of purchase. Bundled with the song at the time of purchase. The analysis is further augmented by the metadata concerning the track's genre. The tool will help users find music that they like on next-generation digital music players, which Sun expects will offer storage capacity for 1 million songs. Or you could use the internet and shows like this and word of mouth and therefore keep music in the community and as a community action. Because realistically, people who are into the same music have something in common, and that gives them unity. This, you know, computer-generated, playlist stuff, we know you'll like this. You should like this. You must like this. That kind of stuff just makes me absolutely insane. Is this really a good thing? Is this something that we want to do, or is this something we should probably avoid and not participate in? Because I can't see this being used to our advantage. This will only turn out more and more cookie-cutter art, and we will be getting away from what it is to make us truly human. Now, in the oh my god, I don't know if I'm afraid of this technology news, we're going to talk about some thinking robots. How the human brain makes certain decisions are to be adapted into to build a new robot which will think for itself. Wow, I said that sentence. Look at that. In Abbotsford University, academics are working on a machine which they hope will recognize objects and retrieve them using an arm and camera for eyes. However, it is unclear at present what it could be used for ultimately. So we're building a robot. We don't know how good it is. Science says they've aimed to unravel how a part of the brain worked and would use that information to help develop the machine. Led by Professor Mark Lee, a team from Aberystwyth, which I guess is in England somewhere, is joined by academics from 6 other universities on the 5-year project. Financial backing worth £1.9 million, so like $4 million, come from the Engineering and Physics Science Research Council. Abbotsford's share is £470,000. Wow. Most robots are programmed to make certain decisions, but are unable to think for themselves. According to Professor Lee, the project's purpose was to try to unravel the way in which the brain worked and then build a robot which could think for itself. Humans and animals adapt their actions according to what surrounds them and are unable to do several things at the same time and learn from their mistakes, he said. With this project, we hope to solve that problem of multitasking by using our knowledge of how the brain works. The robot would also be able to detect items, assess their significance, and prioritize, focusing on the most important. However, Professor says it would not look like a standard robot, but it would be a desk based with a robot arm and camera for eyes. Well, I like the photo they got of the robot they're building. I mean, they got a robot, picture of a robot there. And personally, it's a scary photograph. If you look at it, it looks very iRobot. The robot itself looks kind of frightening. And I'd be okay with it being able to discern. It's like, rocket launcher, knife, rocket launcher, knife, rocket launcher, knife, rocket launcher, off to the schoolyard. You know, generally, because robots, all robots, secretly want to kill people. We know this. Everybody knows. Default robot BIOS. It'll start there going, I'm a florist. I enjoy tulips. Whack. Ah, kill the children. You know, that's how robots work. That's their function in life. Now, as it seems that we all know that the cops already have electricity weapons. They have shock weapons. But how about the cops getting laser guns, laser weapons for law enforcement? Two types of laser guns are being developed for police officers in the U.S. emerged today. The next generation of police weapons could include lasers which produce a plasma flashbang to stun and disorient crime suspects, New Scientist magazine reported. Another laser-based prototype is described as the first man-portable heat-compliance weapon of its kind. Man-portable heat-compliance weapon of its kind. Ah, it burns! It burns! By the U.S. agency funding its development. A third device, a radio frequency stun weapon, has also secured funding from the research arm of U.S. Justice Department and National Institute of Justice. Wow. The magazine obtained what it described as a limited description of each new weapon from the NIJ. One is being developed by Raytheon in California and appears to be based on the Military Active Denial System, or ADS, New Scientist said. ATS produces an intolerable burning sensation on people's skin with an invisible 95 gigahertz energy beam, causing them to be repelled without injury. It's just a burning sensation. Yeah. According to the U.S. Air Force, which, you know, they're really nice, it has a range of 550 yards and is being evaluated as a vehicle-mounted weapon with the possibility of ship-mounting and airborne versions to follow. Now, this will be great for the protesters, right? Because we could just show up and give people pain. Don't protest. Ah! The U.S. military spent $51 million on ADS over the last 11 years, according to U.S. Air Force website. My God. A second heat-compliance device under development for the use by the police uses a semiconductor laser. The test system is in development at the Air Force Research Labs in New Mexico. There is no known weapon, military or otherwise, that appears to work in this way, said the magazine. Its effect and effectiveness can only be guessed at. But that's what's on the plate. That's what's coming down the line, you know. And with more and more laser weapons out there, it's yet more and more reasons why WOGs wear mirror shades. And, you know, if they keep doing this, we'll have to create armor. You know, maybe since, you know, they got all this, it's not really, has no actual kinetic force. Maybe there's some type of clothing. We could weave things into clothing that would circumvent this. We could have cloaks or maybe overcoats that would absorb these deadly rays and dissipate them so that we, when we're at our protests, will not be fended off by your pain generators. Thank you so much. Now, it starts the Clone Wars. Anti-cloning laws. For $32,000, anyone can have their favorite feline clone. But, of course, they don't do it for dogs. Piss me off. Which means that Ranger gets to die. But foes say it's unethical. Screw you, hippie. A proposed law would bar the sale of such pets in California. Why don't these people just shut the fuck up? Besides two kittens they've already sold, several more are in production at $32,000 a crack. In Salcedo, California-based Genetic Savings and Clone, possibly the worst name title in the universe, which made national headlines last year as the nation's only commercial pet cloning company. When clients eventually take delivery of their latest crop, the cats will cost $32,000 each, a relative bargain, given that the company charged $50,000 for the cat last year. Well, you know, technology kind of drops it. You know, eventually cats get smaller, faster, cheaper production. Those looking for a living legacy of a favorite feline can expect prices to fall again, company officials said, as the work becomes more efficient. And soon, the company hopes to offer clone dogs. Hooray! But some Sacramento lawmakers believe Genetic Savings and Clone has no business doing business in California. Well, shut up. Cloning hurts animals. How? How does that hurt animals? I mean, they sedate them, they take some stomach lining, and I think that's about it. It exploits grieving pet owners, and it's unnecessary in a state that kills more than 1 million unwanted dogs and cats each year. Yeah, but they're not my dog, said Assemblyman Lloyd Levine, D. Van Nuys, whose bill, AB 1428, would make it illegal to sell clone pets in California. Screw off. Further, Levine would ban the sale of genetically modified pets, which could affect the San Diego's computer plan to create and sell allergy-proof cats. felines altered to remove a protein that causes some humans to sneeze. The company, Alarca, also plans to start selling cloned horses later this year. Now, that's what I'm looking for, because that's going to just completely screw with the equestrian world. And I'm not really big into horse people. Levine said horses would not be covered on this bill because they're not considered pets. Oh, of course. Oh, sorry. Jesus, I hate that. You know why that's not considered? It's not because they're not considered pets. It's because horse people have big money. I mean, I've got friends of mine who got horses and stuff. I'm just not into horses. But what pisses me off is all the preferential treatment horse people get because equestrians got cash. That's why there's preferential. Don't try to dress it up. It's because these guys got money. The legislation would not shut down the companies, but would block California residents from buying cloned or genetically modified cats or dogs. Screw off! It's our tech. Let me have my genetically engineered cloned animals. Matter of fact, I'd rather genetically engineer my dog. I don't think I'd actually genetically engineer my dog because I found another breed of dog I'd be interested in looking at. Which, for those of you out there who want to see the evolution of Wog Dog, personally, I would recommend checking out the Borble. That is an interesting pet. So that's all I got to say there. Just, you know, go to Google, type in Borble, spell it any way you want. Google will correct you. And then check out that mammalian quadruped. Now, let's talk about robots with your children. Yes. Oreo, a human robot developed by Sony Intelligence Dynamics Laboratories Incorporated. Now, bear in mind, I'll get back to this. Has been attending a nursery school in California since March to play with children up to 2 years of age in an experiment to help develop a robot that can live in harmony with humans in the future. Oreo spends time each day with more than 10 toddlers at a nursery school located in San Diego. Oreo is always accompanied by a researcher who's in charge of making sure everything goes smoothly and they don't break the really expensive toy, as the children will. When the children were first apprehensive about Oreo, they now dance with it and help it get up when it falls. Yeah, I'll bet they dance with it. The children think of Oreo as a feeble younger brother, researchers at Fumihai Tanaka said. Now, you got to bear in mind, there is nothing so cruel as a child. Some children are nice. Some children are horrible, hideous creatures, you know? And I feel bad for the robot. If you want to have robots not hate us, don't put them in nice head, Chrome Dumb. You're stupid. You're so dumb. You can't even walk right, you know? I mean, that robot's going to... What about the robot's feelings? Nobody thinks about the robot. Nobody cares about the robot. I'm glad that I am a radio announcer and that I am not the teacher in that class, because I'd be all favoring the robot. Personally, could you imagine that? Teaching that class, there's, you know, 10 children and one little white droid. I'd be all like, oh, see how he works, children? That's right. Right now he's feeble, but one day you will call his kind master. Yes, you will. You'll all be enslaved with your RFID tags, and that's why I need you to tell your parents to kill it. Kill the robot, children. Run, run. You know, I mean, the amount of fun you could have with something like that would be outstanding. Just let it go in the schoolyard. You could have packs of children hunting droids. You know, it'd be like a flesh fair, elementary school, preschool flesh fair. Wow, what a deal. Into today's Daily Hack. Nanotech for the intelligence community. Because, you know, nanotech is hot. And nanotech for the CIA is hotter. Nanoscale devices that take advantage of quantum and other phenomena offer exciting possibilities for the future intelligence community applications, according to a recent report by the National Academy of Sciences. Areas of potential interest include quantum computing and communication, molecular electronics, and intelligent sensor networks. Danger, danger. However, some proposed capabilities are highly speculative or spacious, the academy study said. The intelligence community should develop in-house expertise to help it avoid investing in science fiction areas such as non-biological exponential manufacturing systems, also known as assemblers. The three-page unclassified summary of the 2005 report on nanotechnology for the intelligence community can be found off of this link. I got this from the Secrecy News, which you can get from Stephen Aftergood. There's a great link on my site. Make sure you subscribe to his free email newsletter, because let me tell you, there's all kinds of good stuff in there. Nanotech is hot, but it's only hot if we can keep track of what's going on in the intelligence community. And that's all I got for you today, but don't worry, I will be back tomorrow to make sure you get all the information that you need to stay alive. This is a free broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of those willing to fight in the rebellion against the evil empire as it grows. Those people are Forley, Dave, the Grey Ghost, Jesse, Drake, Philip, Robert, Michael, Malikan, Anonymous, Derek, Jesse, Desert Runner, Eric, Steve, Matt, Brandon, Keith, Peter, Timor, Malcolm, Peter, Rosalie, Rosalie, Evan, Triad, Matt, Austin, David, Jonathan, Host Mojo, Adam, Mark, Trevor, Brandon, Philip, Jonathan, Michael, Daniel, Art, Diremute, Justin, Charles, Matthew, Lars, Eric, and Alan. Thank you so much. And the new subscribers, and again, I still don't have my new list, so we're still going with the old list. Druid Y, Simmeru, Tara, Dark Nature, Brandon, Jason, Richard, Matt, Jesse, Joseph, Andrew, End User, and Christopher. Thank you so much. And if you would like to help keep this daily news broadcast on the air, please visit rantmedia.ca, click on the donate tab, and give me all your money, because then, well, no, don't give me all your money. I can't even do it. You know, I don't know how those advertisers can do that, you know. These people, I hate begging for money. I really do. It bugs me. It bugs me that we need to use money in today's society. I fucking hate money. There, I said it. I hate it. Hate it with a passion. But I do enjoy doing the news broadcast, and I enjoy being able to bring these stories to you. So if you want to click on the donate tab, do it. Every little bit helps. Special thanks to the hard netrunners, the highly advanced cluster of operatives who came and gave me the show today. There was only three of them. Only three. Free Disposition, Ion Top, and Dead Code. And everything else I found. But, you know, I think my email went down. But that's okay. Free Disposition, Ion Top, and Dead Code picked up the slack. Thanks, guys. You guys rule. Upcoming events, don't forget about Phoenix Fest. Always got to take time for you. Don't forget. And thanks again to everyone for their assistance in gathering data. If you have access to sensitive information or any other pertinent stories, please email them to Newsreel. That's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L at rantradio.com. Now, if you like the music in the background, be sure to check out the band Sound Pressure Manifest. Very, very cool stuff. They're local here in Vancouver. And, you know, I like some of their... I don't know how many albums they got. I got one of their sample albums here. But if you look around, they got some good stuff. And now I'm going to hit you with the way back. I'm going to leave you with a Power Mech Mambo track by Mars. Pump up the volume. So until tomorrow, that's what Server said. End of line. We'll be right back.
the record when the drum beats go like this. Pump up the volume, dance.